regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, April 23rd, 2018. And as it's been our tradition for many, many years, I'd like to ask the everyone here in attendance to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda tonight is, under item one, the approval of the executive session minutes of April 9th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
All in favor of Councilman Goyce's motion to approve the executive session minutes of April 9th, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion was passed unanimously, and there were three reasons for the executive session on that evening. The first was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the Mayor and Council has jurisdiction. The second reason was to consult with our council to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. And the third was to discuss public security. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes for April 9th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion also by Councilman Member Goyce to approve the regular session minutes of April 9th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 12th, 2018.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Goyce to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, another motion passed unanimously. The reason for this executive session on April 12th was to discuss public security. If the public body determines that public discussion would constitute a risk to the public or to public security, including the deployment of fire and police services and staff, and the development and implementation of emergency plans. And finally here we have the approval of the general fund work session minutes from last Monday, the April 16th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Goyce to approve the work session minutes for the general fund on April 16th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Number two on our agenda is a request for the mayor for the mayor and council to waive a fee, for the regular park fee, for the Stephen Cater High School Math Honor Society. So, is anyone here?
Yeah,
come on down and just tell us your name and any position you might hold for this society. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, hello, council members. My name is Layla Mirza. I am the president of the Nyalpa Theta Math Honor Society at Stephen Decatur High School. And every year in May, at the end of the year, we have a picnic to celebrate our accomplishments that year, to welcome new members, and also to hold elections for next year's officers. So we're just requesting the fee waiver for the park so that we can have a good end to our year.
Okay. And it's something you've been doing, but this is the first time. We're advised it would be a good idea to come on down.
Yes.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay.
We're all learning. What is the fee?
It's $50, and they receive $25 back as long as the park's left in good condition.
Move to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve the request for a waiver of the $50 fee by the Stephen Decatur High School Math Honor Society. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you, and have a, hope you have good weather.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Number three on our agenda is motion 2018-11, motion approving the placement of a small cafe table, two chairs, and small flower containers on the sidewalk on Pitt Street in front of the Burley Florist, the Burley Florist. And Michael Adala?
Yes.
Yes.
Good evening, Mayor, Council.
And just tell everybody who you are. And
the owner of the Burley Florist. I'm just requesting permission to have a cafe table and chairs and buckets for fresh cut flowers outside of the shop. Nothing's permanently set there. It could all be moved if needed. So, something to spruce up the street.
The table and chair is something you'll take in at night or something?
On the busier nights, I will. If it's in February, March, probably wouldn't need to. But, come summertime, probably wouldn't hurt to bring them in.
Okay. It's ample space amongst the tables. It's a size table that you're setting there to walk by, no problem.
It's a 30-inch table. We use plenty of clearance as far as ADA compliance goes. 30-inch round, but it was about this size. And the chairs sit on either side, facing out towards the street.
I would note that, again, because the packet's got a lot of information in it, right, that in the packet was a letter from our planning director, Dave Engelhardt. It says here, it says the placement of the table and chairs complies with standards of the American Disabilities Act. For clear path access on the sidewalk. And I think that specifically addresses your question.
It's a 79-inch distance on the sidewalk. He's got a 30-inch table. So that leaves 49. He only needs for ADA and American Disabilities Act 36. So he's got a lot of clearance, yes.
Motion to approve that.
Okay, we have a motion to approve Mr. Nadella's request for table and chairs and some floor arrangements in front of Burley Florist on Pitt Street. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations, and we look forward to seeing the arrangement.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Berlin Fire Company President David Fitzgerald. There he is. We all know each other, so if you'll introduce and titles and all that sort of thing for the record.
Dave Fitzgerald, President of Berlin Fire Company. We have R.J. Rose, Third Assistant Fire Chief. As y'all know, volunteers get called into work. Chief called into work. So
yeah.
R.J. is going to do his best to answer any questions you might have. If not, we'll have to ask your indulgence to get back to you. And sorry, I got inner ear infection, so if I'm yelling at you or whispering, please tell me. Don't talk to you about it.
No problem. We're trying to make you any sicker.
No, I'm not sick. Just I got inner ear. I can't tell how loud I'm speaking.
No problem.
Mayor, may I ask a question,
sure.
RJ, please? Could you just give us a quick Reader's Digest of what went on this morning other than the obvious?
I was not there. I talked to Assistant Chief Simpson. He was there this morning. They had a kitchen fire inside of the business. The fire was contained to the room of origin. There was some smoke damage and heat damage to the rest of the building, but the main area of fire was kept to the room of origin. The exact cause is still under investigation with the Worcester County Fire Marshal's Office.
Excellent response. A lot of folks there. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
I think pig picking permits up first.
Okay. I was waiting for somebody to tell me what we were doing.
We've submitted our one-day special permit that's required for an American Council to review for us to get a liquor license for a fundraiser, so we appreciate you approving that so we could try to raise some funds.
This is the same one you do every year?
It's our second year, yes.
Second year.
Yes, sir. Last one was a big success.
Pretty successful event last time, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so your pig picking and clam bake on Saturday, May 19th from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's right there at the firehouse.
At the firehouse, yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the one-day special permit for Berlin Fire Company pig picking and clam bake at their Main Street Station All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
One opposed.
Next is your Berlin Fire Company budget presentation. Fiscal 19.
Thanks, sir.
Starting with fire or EMS?
Let's start with EMS if you're good. We'd like to start with the EMS if we could. Feel that's the most critical nature of funding that's needed for the fire company. As you know, the EMS, that's the ambulance service. Start off, just again, reviewing for the mayor and council and the public, the revenues, how the money is received by the emergency medical services. We've tried to provide you some comparisons. Looking through my notes, Mr. Burrell asked for that last year, so I want to make sure we provided that this year. Donations, that's what we're budgeting based upon the last full fiscal year, which will be FY17. We're still in the middle of the year. As you notice, the annual donations, we've dropped those down. It's a projected decrease because so far this year, we only have one more month left, May and June, actually 2 months, and we project that to be a decrease. And we feel that's just due to most people now feel the service is covered under their tax base, and they just don't feel that they want to do that annual $40 donation. The county grant, as you can see, it went up from 2 years ago, and that's, again, based upon the number of calls we have, number of employees, number of ambulances, and then our proposed grant that we're asking for the town. Invoicing, I put that on a separate page for you. We talked a little bit.
One second before we go to page two.
Sure.
The membership fee for the ambulance service is under annual donations or donations?
Annual donations, so that's the $40 and the annual donation.
Perfect. And you still offer that? Can you provide a brief summary of that program?
Yep. So for $40, a person can pay into that fund, an annual donation fund, and that acts as co-insurance, so they will not receive a bill. So if, say for example, I pay the $40, I get a bill for $1,000, and the insurance only pays $600, well, the other $400 is covered by that $40.
Very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. So invoicing, we project next year $375,000. We do have a good collection rate, and that was also in the study, 86% collection rate after the mandatory write-off. Our charges are set by the standard of invoice if insurance is a Medicare. So we can play all sorts of games with numbers if we want. We can charge $1,500 for the ambulance, but the insurance has charts, and Medicare has charts that they know by zip code what the expected bill should be. So we charge the rates, and we review them every year. If they go up, we have our billing company increase those. We do use a collection agency. Goes without saying, we can't cut off the service. We're not like a water provider or a electric company or anybody else. We can't cut off the service. It doesn't matter what somebody owes us. We have to continue to respond. But we do use a collection agency, just so you know. We try every means there is to collect those bills.
Ask you a question.
Yep.
What's the difference between responding to a call and not, and then the patient refuses to go to the medical center or the hospital?
Okay.
Is it a cost for that?
There's a cost to us to respond, but unfortunately we cannot bill for that service. Ambulance can only, emergency medical service ambulance can only bill if they transport the patient.
Okay. You asked my question? Mm-hmm.
So how did we come up with the town amount? As the study said, we worked through our expenses. we fill out the revenues, and the last number is the town. This year it's at $376,773. We want to again emphasize that's only 27.12% of the revenue, and the calls in town are 57%.
Now, before we proceed, will you get us the number of calls that, or a percentage of the calls that you ran during the same time period that were at the nursing home?
I have put in a request to the 911 center. He replied to me over the weekend. He couldn't run that report. I provided him further direction today on how he should be able to get that report out of the CAD system. So I'm hoping that that email is going to hopefully be here today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you're expecting a response?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir. The main expenses, of course, are salaries and staffing. There are our career providers that we need because the volunteers, as you've heard us say before, EMS is not a volunteer function anymore. We just cannot function totally with volunteers on the emergency medical services side. Our people are all cross-trained as firefighters and drive. They can drive the apparatus. They can assist us as firefighting. We have 8 full-time paramedics and 4 full-time EMTs. We've worked to reduce our turnover that we used to have by our pay step scale system. We do offer the full benefits that are listed there that most employers have with the retirement system, insurance, uniforms, paid time off. The only thing I failed to type in there is especially the cost of the workers' comp. We're up almost $100,000 a year of workers' comp costs now.
Oh, David, did I understand you at one point to say the county's picking that up or not?
No. They do for volunteers.
Okay.
They will not pick up our employees.
Got it. Thank you.
So the workers' comp for the employees, these 12 people and any part-time people, is in this budget. Our staffing level on the next page is always 2 paramedics and 1 EMT on duty at all times. We do have in this budget, as I mentioned earlier, about $35,000 for a 4th person, an EMT, during the summer periods and holidays due to increased call volume. Those charts were all in the study. And, you know, our decreased volunteer availability during that time. Most everybody works second jobs, summer vacations, and holiday times when the volunteers aren't available. As we've said before, you know, we feel that our staffing should be higher than this, but we're trying to be financially prudent and work forward in these processes. The FY17 was $1.3 million. 1,312,775. FY19, you see it's only a $4,000 difference in 2 years. So we tried to hold our own with those expenses and answer our calls. I won't go down every line unless you'd like me to. The medical supplies, office supplies, professional fees, volunteer incentives, building maintenance repair, and medical equipment. There's no real jumps in any of those, unless anybody has any questions on those.
I would like to talk about training for a moment.
Sure.
Do you still send any firefighters or medical providers to FDIC?
We have not sent anybody out of town in the last several years.
Can you send us numbers for trying to send 2 providers, your full-time providers, either to like GEMS or to FDIC, please? If they're going to be here running on the front lines of calls, I'd like to see that in the training budget. Okay. Thank you.
David?
Yes?
Please, the same numbers you already provided to us. Are these the same numbers you've already provided to us?
Yes, and it fixed the addition correction, the $1,000 correction.
You got it.
Yes, we fixed that here.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Do you find this format helpful?
I'm sorry?
I find this format helpful.
Okay. The next page is just continuing on to fuel. Vehicle maintenance repair, I mentioned that just because that's an $8,000 drop. 2 of our ambulances are newer, so we're hoping. One's under warranty, the other one just went off warranty, so we hope those expenses would be lower. Communications, even though there's a 0 number at FY17, we still need a placeholder. It's a small amount of money in case we have radio batteries or something the county wouldn't cover or something else. So we need to have that placeholder there. As you notice, we've not asked in the EMS budget and not put in the budget at all for any new medical equipment, no building capital. That's all in the fire company. No replacement third ambulance. Our third ambulance is overdue for replacement. We try to replace these every 10 years. We're just asking for the money right here this year just to operate. The $376,000 is what it takes for us to keep the staffing levels like they are today and answer the calls in the quick manner that we can with that staffing. So we did not put anything in there. We just did some math to help out. If you replace them on a 10-year schedule, our last ambulance was $280,000. I just talked to Ocean City on Friday. They think their ambulance is going to be like $301,000. So if you say the ambulance is $300,000, you need to put $90,000 a year away, or however you budget. If you budget it on paper, or you actually put the money away, however the town wants to do it, you need to be thinking ahead that the fire company, EMS, needs to be putting $90,000 away for replacement ambulances.
And what is your service life? I remember
it. Ten years. And that's not always due to mileage. It's due to safety things. These two new ambulances we have now have airbags that come out everywhere. God forbid we're in an accident. They have the three-point safety harnesses and the electrical things. So it's not always about mileage or hours on the engine. And they are hard hours because they're idling on the scene while you're taking care of a patient at a high RPM to keep the electric running. And, you know, we don't go to speed limit. So, you know, they are running at a faster rate. So just telling you honestly, you can't always go by the mileage and say, oh, the ambulance only has 50,000 miles on it. What's going on? Well, it might help in resale value, but 10 years, either technology, safety things, or we start having electrical problems, usually air conditioning problems, and that's the worst thing to have in summertime is a sick patient and the air conditioner not working. So on the last page, just a copy of the out of studies to reemphasize the percentages.
Last question for EMS. How much do you pay providers for a second run call if it's not covered by your in-house?
So the volunteer incentive that we budget for is if they go on a call, they're the driver, they get $25. If they're attendant, they get $50. We have to be very careful with that. We have to do all sorts of research every year to make sure we're compliant with IRS and Fair Labor Standard Act. So our accountants and our attorneys look at that every year to make sure we're not violating anything. But it's an incentive because on ambulance call, you're gone for a period of time. All of the paperwork now is done by the computer. So you've got computer paperwork that you have to do and get done caring for a patient. And the driver's helping get the ambulance back cleaned up, ready for the next call. So it's an incentive for them to go on these calls.
I just want to make note about the last page on the percentages. The fire-related calls in town and county and the EMS-related calls in town and county are almost mirror images of each other, opposite. For fire-related calls, and I'm rounding off here, 42.2% are in town for fire, 57.8% are in the county service area of Berlin Fire Company. And for EMS, it's reversed, where 57.2% of the calls are within the town of Berlin, and 42.8% are within the Berlin Fire Company's county service area. And I think that's why it's going to be very interesting, because I don't think anybody can put her finger on it, but how many of those ambulance calls for emergencies, because I understand it's not for what I call standard transport, but for emergencies go to the nursing home. And I think that will be another, hopefully give us some enlightenment there, because obviously that's a unique situation.
And if there's any, I don't want to say a good thing about somebody being sick, because that's not the way to say it. Mm-hmm. But with the nursing home calls, we pretty well get paid for those. Most of the people in the nursing home, they've gone through a vetted process through the nursing home, so they've got Medicare and supplemental insurance. So on a financial side, it's comforting to know that most of the time we go to the nursing home, those calls are paid for. Unfortunately, somebody is ill.
Okay. Yeah.
So the fire company. We did the same thing, the revenues. So we have donations, fundraisers. Our state aid is going up a little bit. So the 45,000 number is the estimate we receive from the state. The county grant's going up because of our call volume has gone up, and they've also created now a $225,000 base amount that they won't go below that for our county stipend. So that's going up. The town request, again, we work the same formula. Do our expenses, put in all our revenues. What's left to balance the budget is the number we put in for the town. This has changed, Ms. Allen. It was 430, it's now 410. We saw some things we could change in our revenue, in our donations, in fundraisers, so it's 410 now. I believe the other sheet we turned in was 430. Our utilities, building maintenance repair, insurance, office supplies and computers, professional fees. The reason professional fees have increased is now that we don't have we had to eliminate the part-time administrative position several years ago, so our accountant is doing more what I call bookkeeping work on a monthly basis for us. Plus now with the audit, Mr. Berkey does charge us for that extra time to do our books and then prepare them for the audit. So that's why the increase in professional fees. Communications, you can see, is about the same. Fire prevention, we would like to do more. Like we put in a study when we were interviewed, we'd like to do more, and we'd like to have giveaways. We disposed of the giveaways to the school, the hats and helmets and the pencils. We'd like to get back into doing that. Kids enjoy that, and I think they listen to the presentations more if they get a little something to take home. Vehicle maintenance has increased just because of the age of the fleet, and there are a couple projects with the rescue truck trying to extend its life, so that's why the vehicle maintenance has changed about $30,000, a little less than $30,000. Fire police, they're in need of some new reflective equipment. They're the ones that direct traffic. They're sworn in by the sheriff, but they assist us like today. I saw pictures on the lunchtime news of couple of our members directing traffic here through town when we had the fire this morning, so they're in need of some equipment. The fire equipment, I have a sheet at the end on that. The physicals in gym, I think we've explained before, we're required to either have a gym available or provide a membership to a gym for our members for their physical fitness. And we're also have to have a physical for all drivers and all members who wear the breathing apparatus, but we encourage all of our members, and we have had members who have found themselves having medical conditions that would have been undetected if it wasn't for this physical. Again, that helps us because we don't want to put somebody in a situation that may have a workers' comp claim. We'd rather find the condition first. Fire supplies, that's our normal things, and we have a separate page on that. Same with the fire equipment maintenance repair. We have a separate page on that to explain those to you. The next page is the volunteer incentives. That's the things like their dress uniforms, the banquet, just having the coffee up there in the morning so people hang out. That's the type of things that we do with the volunteer incentive money. Again, much cheaper than hiring people. If you had to hire 55 people, it's a lot of money. You saw the fire today with all the mutual aid box alarms. So we feel that's a good investment to keep the members interested in coming to the fire station. Cadets, we haven't been spending any money for that. Chief has said we need to spend money on our cadets. They need to have proper safety equipment. And again, if we're going to have them interested, we've got to have interesting things for them to do, whether it's training props or having a pizza for them, you know, one night when they come up. To get people interested, you've got to do things for them. The training, Mr. Tindall, here's what, that's why the training's increased, because we're trying to get some advanced training. There's a lot of technology that's changed with these vehicles. That's why the chief has upped this training to $20,000. So that, to answer your question, we'll get you the individual numbers, but that's why this training budget's increased. We're trying to get some advanced training available.
Nice.
And then new fire equipment, we have another page on that that we can explain. Building repairs. 1965 firehouse, I think we've all talked about that before. The foyer entryway, we've just got the bids back from that, and that is replacing all of that glass entryway that just on a regular rainy day, that leaks like a sieve. Not safe. We're getting concerned if we would have a strong storm or hurricane, that might entirely blow out, and then we have an emergency repair, or we have a fire station that we have to move out of, or something happens. So we are aggressively pursuing that at this time. We have not gone to competitive bid for the roof, but we did get a price from our normal roofing vendor, $114,000 to replace both sections of the roof, the 1965 and the 1990 section. They're both deteriorated. They come in usually two or three times. If we have any heavy rains, they're coming back out doing flashing, and now it's piecemeal work where it's getting it's not cost effective to keep having them come out and repair. It needs to be replaced. Our boiler heat system does heat and hot water. We've got prices on that, switching that over from fuel oil to gas now that we have the natural gas piped into the building, switching that over, updating that at a cost of $60,000. And then we just have miscellaneous repairs for what we call bunk room lounge, the carpeting. We run a vacuum cleaner across. It's a big joke about the string coming up, choking the vacuum cleaner out, things like that. Miscellaneous repairs, about $20,000 just to freshen up those two areas and possibly expand that bunk room out into some of the office areas. Replacement apparatus, we did put that line item in the budget. That's the next page, the chart that we've been submitting. It has the X's on it when the vehicles are expected to be replaced. As the note says, changes on technology, changes on in fiscal and finances, repairs. You know, if we have a vehicle all of a sudden start to give us a lot of repairs, we may need to move that up on the schedule. We've had to do that before. So that's the replacement schedule. And then the next page shows you what the estimated replacement costs are on those vehicles.
What's going on with the 1988
607? At this point, we do have an engine on order. The fire company has not decided whether that's going to be retired or what have you at this point. So then the last page, and it's a portrait instead of landscape, that just breaks down the new fire equipment. Those numbers transfer to the other pages, what the new fire equipment is, the fire supplies, the replacements, personal protective equipment. And if you have questions about the road and the replacement bottles and the gear, those are all mandated by end of life. Fire gear, we're not supposed to wear fire gear. Have fire gear issued that's over 10 years old, doesn't matter. If the person has never worn it, if it's 10 years old, they have to be issued new gear, because if they would become injured in it, the manufacturer is not going to stand behind us. Same way with the air bottles, they have to be tested every year and replaced every 8 to 10 years. And then the whole last column, that's the $26,450. That again is all the mandatory testing. All of our ladders have to be tested. All those items have to be tested every year and verify they're ready for emergency service. And then I just copied the last page again so you have it on the packet. So as the mayor mentioned, it's a little different. With the fire calls, about 42% in town. And if you do the math for the $410,000, that's about 42% of the budget. So that was another reason we reduced it just a touch. We were trying to have our numbers come in line with the percentage of calls. So we're trying to match them up.
Does anyone have any questions about any of the information that David's presented?
I have one. Sure. For donation, if I was to write a check for a donation to the fire department, how would that be allocated? Would that go to fire or would that go to EMS?
If it's written to the fire company, it goes in the fire company account, just in the general donation category. Be used for part of this $30,000.
In order to donate to the EMS side, you have to explicitly say, I want this to go to EMS.
Yes, and we do have people do that. That's part of the $2,500 or whatever's on the other page. We do have people that specifically will write a check. Matter of fact, I got one in the mail today thanking us for a heart attack call. The guy said, thank you for your service. Here's a $100 check for the ambulance.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All righty. I want to thank you first for the presentation, and that was very helpful. I think one thing is that we've had discussions, especially since the Matrix Consulting report came out. We've had ongoing discussions even before, sorry. try to figure out how we get from where we are to where we all want to be. And one of the key components, and I know the council's had some time to think, is one of the recommendations, there were 28 recommendations in the report, 17 of them had to do with the relationship with the fire company and the town of Berlin. The other 11 were all kinds of suggestions and recommendations regarding internal operations within the fire company. The recommendation that I think we all mutually want to work for is a contract for services that helps outline what our expectations are with the fire company and the EMS. And for us, it's a little easier just to consider them two entities under one roof because they're funded that way. They have operationally, there's certainly some overlap, but they're two different services. And the contract for services, in our view, would address, you wouldn't have it all figured out day one, but you want to at least address what our goals are that we can accomplish between this budget year and, let's say, next early spring. And the idea being that we can accomplish some things, I think, are, even though it's an overwhelming report, some things are fairly straightforward, and others are going to take a lot of effort, research, and weighing options, and coming up with a mutual agreement as to what is in the best interest of all parties. And I think the part that, that as far as funding goes, is that we have a situation where the town of Berlin is very much interested in those recommendations, not exclusively, but those recommendations that come with the control of the finances, the budgeting, and both for short-term and long-term, the cash management, all those kinds of things, which, quite frankly, I think trying to do is get everything in line so that we're all working according to the same accounting standards and financial management standards, so that it's easier for both parties, plus we're all answerable to the public, and I believe the fire company is too, so that increases in the amounts that are budgeted over time are also both accountable and very transparent. And I know that wasn't necessary years ago, but as the figures show here, the amount to provide these two services is significantly higher than it was 20, 25 years ago. And I don't see it that changing. You know, it's just the way life is. So I think our goal is to have a contract for services this year, which maybe, at least outlines the targets, the things that we need, what's important, and then some things I think we'll be able to do in short order. Other things I think can be accomplished by, let's say, early fall, others by next winter, and the final round of recommendations and implementing by early spring. And I think that way we're not going to try to eat the elephant in one bite. We're going to do it in servings. But at the same time, I do think it's important that we have that commitment in writing, so that we all know what we're working for. And I think that will be, as far as anybody has anything to add, please speak up. I think that is the intent of the mayor and council, is to make sure that we are all talking the same language, that we are using the same standards for the management of money and how money is allocated for all these resources, and so that we can, with confidence, say to our taxpayers and people that some are served by the Berlin Fire and EMS, that are not necessarily taxpayers, but they live here, this is what you're getting for your investment through the Town of Berlin's grants. So I've always made two grants that are continue to be our intention, one for fire, one for EMS. Short term, the matrix report indicated that our contribution for fire, which is about right on in the counties as well. But that our grant for the EMS needs to be increased, and we're saying that we never had a philosophical problem with that, but we need to make sure that the financial accountability and transparency matches up with everything else we do with the rest of the budget. And I think we can get there. I think it's to everyone's interest. I think our conversations today have been very productive and helpful, but I don't think we're going to be able to get from zero to full speed between now and the end of May. But I think we're committed, I'm just going to let you know, at least share with the membership, we're committed to getting as far along in the process and at least get the foundation built, and then we can go from there. I believe that's for the fire company fans, but
as we said, we can't stress to you enough, with the EMS, it's as transparent as we can be with all of it, but the EMS, I mean, if the funding isn't there, it's not there, it'll have to be cutbacks of services in EMS, just like we did last year. We had to eliminate the fourth person, and there'll have to be further cutbacks.
But I think one thing, just so you know, because I know this is news to any of us now, especially that we report to any of us, is that certainly what operations to be, what it needs to be, but things like capital investment, I was encouraged by the fact that the report at least indicated that the additional space you need for officers and EMS personnel for, you know, living quarters and training, and according to the Matrix Consulting Report, is available on the upper level. That, and it's nobody's fault, times change, and I remember when this room itself, back when this was the fire hall, this was the social center of the town, and that eventually faded on, and I know we had my daughter's wedding reception at the fire hall. It was a wonderful time, but that's been quite a while ago. And so it's kind of thing now, I think, that we want to not only talk about the funding from year to year, but what kind of investments need to be made so that the EMS services and the equipment and the fiscal facilities, the capital investments, that we're all in sync and we're getting the most bang for our buck, because obviously I know you have some very strong ambitions about another firehouse, but I think I'm speaking for the mayor and council when I say our concern and our responsibility is let's get the station one, which we all call the main street station, let's get it to every up to snuff in every way that you and the town of Berlin and our citizens need, and then we can go from there. But I think we want to work with you on that. And nobody has the magic wand. But I think if we work cooperatively as we have begun this winter, there's a lot that can be accomplished. Anybody have any? So we appreciate your time. And any comments or questions? And of course, I have to say, and I know you're looking for, but we'll obviously need to get together a few times between now and then to see what we can hammer out, and you talk to your folks and see what we can do.
Just three things to conclude with. One, there was a request made to visit the firehouse. We'll send an email out. I'm waiting for the chief to double-check his schedule.
Okay.
So we'll send an email to all of you.
Great.
We know you can't get together as a group because of the meeting laws and stuff, but we'll send out several dates and times that we'll be at the firehouse available for a tour for you. The second thing the chief asked me to mention is in the report, and this coincides with the third thing, is we're going to send you up. We've been asking for quotes, and we just don't have them. Is a specialty vehicle for the special events when Main Street's closed. So we'll get that up to you. We'd like to have that considered separate from the budget because it's a separate thing. And then the standby crews, how we're going to handle the crews that they've suggested and the police have asked to have on how we're going to handle those. So
My impression is that those are three things that are very high priority for us.
So we need to correspond quickly because we know events are going to be forthcoming. But we'll get that up to you by the end of the week. We've just been waiting for a vendor to give us a couple quotes.
Yeah, good. And I haven't No, there's an issue there. We just want to figure out what is it that will best serve the needs of your needs and the practical will be a various size of the crowd.
And that's what we looked at, just a practical utility vehicle that can carry a patient, because as the study said, the ambulance should stay at Main Street, should not be parked up here staged. So we put a patient on it, carry him back to the ambulance, and take him to the hospital.
That was great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Tell Jimmy he owes you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good
evening.
Thank you
a lot.
You too.
Next is a presentation by Davis Bowen Pridell. They are our engineering firm that does all of our engineering work for the town of Berlin. Yes, come on down and introduce yourself and title and all, even though we all know each other. For that reason, on the record.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilman. My name is Josh Taylor. I'm a town engineer with Davis Bowen Pridell. I'm an associate at Davis Bowen Pridell. But that doesn't mean much. I'm really a project manager. So. Here tonight to discuss two projects. Number A on the list is the tennis courts. So we'll get the fun one out of the way first. You guys saw the staff report, I'm assuming, in the packet.
Yep, they did.
So just to summarize, the contractor went out there to a basic mill off an inch and a half of asphalt and overlay that back on. When he did the pavement on the two eastern courts, the courts closest to the highway, immediately started to fail and crack. After a couple passes, the contractor and our inspector realized that that was not going to work. It was doing more damage than good. So they pulled their big milling machine, which I think is like a 30-ton milling machine, pulled that off, brought up their smaller milling machine, continued milling, and found that the subgrade and the sublayers of the tennis court were just in such bad shape that we just need to stop, pull back, and reevaluate what was going on. They did finish removing the millings, but it was quite obvious that they were not going to be able to come back out and do some crack repairs and overlay, which was our original intent. The reasoning for the failures is just substandard materials were used and substandard installation practices were used during the original installation of the tennis courts, and then over the years it was just kind of built over top of it. Just as a for instance, no binder course was used between the layers of asphalt to bind them together. The asphalt was placed on top of, in some instances, the existing topsoil, which is not proper to build on, is not structurally sound, and has organics in it that are going to deteriorate and leave void space.
And so in a period of all those 30 years, there's been a lot of Band-Aids on top of other Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Is that a non-engineering way of saying it?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
The bleeding kept going, but they just put another Band-Aid on top. For many reasons, and I can answer any questions you guys have, but what it comes down to really is that for the two easternmost courts, we're going to have to do what we had originally proposed, which is to install two layers of asphalt in order to properly get that court back to a high-quality surface playing condition. That's what we had proposed and wanted to do. Us, DBF, and the town, originally, budget would not allow that. We're now being forced to do that because, honestly, in my professional recommendation, reconstructing the court is not worth the additional money it would cost. I guess you could look at it as you're saving from having to do a 3-inch mill and overlay on four courts, and you're only having to do it on two courts with some minor repairs being done to the other two courts. So. All in all, compared to our original recommendation, which was to remove 3 inches and place back two 1.5-inch layers, it's going to be cheaper than that. But it is going to be more expensive than we originally anticipated. Finalize the design around and bid out.
You confident that for the $12,600, there's substantial enough base under that? We're not just Do another Band-Aid?
Of course, we've hindsight being 2020, we had done cores before design. We did two cores, which is typical. Like, if this was that same size parking lot was being designed, I would have gone out and done two or three cores beforehand to know what we were working with underneath. But when I called John Hines and said, hey, you guys did our geotech out here. I'm looking at your report. Got these shoes. Can you help us out? John, I consider him a friend, and he's a longstanding client of Davis Bowen Friedel and the town of Berlin. So he got out there himself with a hand shovel, reinforced what we had already stated, but he was in agreement. Under conditions, of course. Construction always comes with conditions. We don't want to repeat the same mistake.
I guess with the question, we're trying to come to a, hopefully the council and their office come to a the best possible answer to the alternatives, the options that we face today. None of us can go back and change the past, right? And we learn from it, and hopefully those who follow us down the road will not make the mistake that was made at some point in the past. But I think Councilman Purnell is asking, if of the different options we have here, that if the leveling of the asphalt and putting that, getting that court stabilized and properly sealed, I mean, maybe it won't be the ideal, but we would still accomplish what we originally did, which was basically to replace and upgrade all of the tennis courts that are currently in place. Now, in addition ones, but we'd still have the same number we've had for the last three decades.
Correct. That is the most efficient way to accomplish that goal.
Okay. The most cost-effective measure would be to, and the one that offers the least amount of risk for having to dump future money into the east side, those two east side courts, would be to do away with the asphalt and then possibly put in some other type of recreation like volleyball or something along that line.
That would be an inaccurate assessment, and I am a avid volleyball player, my professional opinion, to make the best use of the lighting system that you guys have paid, a very nice lighting system that you've paid to put in, the fencing that you've already purchased, I'd say your best option is to, and it also avoids people complaining about not having enough tennis courts, because you may not see anybody there playing tennis, but you cut the courts in half, you're going to get complaints about
it. And so you left off with the best option is and stops.
The best option is to install the leveling course and continue under with the original design, which is rehabilitating four tennis courts.
Mayor, if I could just add. Sure. So the other item I'd like you to consider is we did receive a grant of $215,000 for the four tennis courts, and the added element I would include is if you stick with just repurposing the four tennis courts, then it's likely we will have no issue with the granting agency. If you choose to take and do something else with the two tennis courts that we're discussing, we are not sure what the granting agency will do. And so there is some risk to the grant if you choose to repurpose those two courts into a volleyball court or something else, some other recreational activity.
And I have another question, because obviously one of the things being talked about is volleyball, as for instance. If there is, say, an immediate or longer-term future, there is obviously a demand for that. You know, the tennis exists. Is it, in your opinion, that I know there's a lot of low-lying areas there, but is there a part of that park that would be suitable for something like that, given the terrain?
Yeah, of course, most parks historically are located in areas that are low-lying because they're not conducive to other things that are more economically sound. But that whole park is fairly wet, which is the major contributor to the condition of those courts. Are you saying that could we look at a different area?
Well, I'm trying to look at all the possibilities, and so we all can, then the council will make its mind, is assuming that the tennis courts were replaced as it was the original intent, but we did find that volleyball
there was a demand for it, there would be use for it. Is there proper space that could be used so that we don't end up with a muddy, water-drenched volleyball court?
Yes, properly constructed.
Properly constructed and elevated and still
compact. With proper drainage, even maybe even under drains if you're starting from scratch, and look at the appropriate 10 to 14 inches of sand. Sand is much more conducive to drain to run off than asphalt. So it would be a good fit.
Okay, and another question then. given the fact that, you know, it's a low-lying area, but it's been a very nice asset for the town for now going into attempting to go maybe the third generation, is there some drainage corrections or enhancements that can be made to make that area where the tennis courts are less inclined to be deteriorated by dampness?
Certainly. Evaluating existing low points and installing a catch basin inlet and piping to the adjacent ditches would be one thing we could do. A cheaper option would be cutting some swales or smaller ditches, swales that are less obtrusive, not a trip hazard, but just a nice natural swale are running towards the ditches, and that is something that will happen prior to them going out there and doing the final coating of the paving.
Okay, so that's built in.
Whether the contractor does it or I do it, it's going to happen because it's going to lead to a better result in for the town. But we need to drop the work table in that area before the contractor goes back out there and finishes the job so we can avoid what took place last time. So that's something that's going to happen. Like I said, whether it's me and a spade or a contractor.
Right. Regardless of the use, yeah. Okay.
Do we have any sense of the amount of use that the courts get and whether it substantiates having four courts as opposed to two?
I do not.
We've never done a count, but I can tell you that for a large number of years, I receive regular phone calls from people asking when the courts are going to be fixed. I could not tell you how many are playing on a given time frame. We've just never done a measurement of that.
I know people, when we're out there on site, people have come up to us and said, oh, you fix up the courts, that's great. I've also had heard, just in discussions about the project, heard that there are local schools that have tennis teams that pay to practice elsewhere. So having a nice set of courts may be something that the town can utilize to its advantage monetarily. And that's not why you have them, but if someone's going to pay somebody to play tennis and they're in Berlin, I'd say why not pay a town of Berlin?
Tell me, Josh, my concern is being here again and having to spend $12,000 more. I don't know about swales. I don't know about drainage ditches. I don't know about that stuff. I depend upon the expertise of the engineer. And are you saying to us that if we spend this additional $12,000, that we will have the courts that we should have here in the town of Berlin?
Based on my professional opinion, the opinion of the geotechnical engineer knows a lot more to me about dirt and talking directly with the pavers. The pavers know a lot more about paving than I do. We have all had numerous conversations with Mary also and Laura, and I believe we know infinitely more than we knew going this project now. And I'm comfortable with the numbers that they provided, that it's going to solve the problem, that we're going to get what we originally intended, and I'm very comfortable that the numbers they provided are fair numbers. So.
Okay. Does anyone have any additional questions for Josh? Any comments?
Well, I've seen it. I think it makes the most sense what you're doing.
Is that a motion?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion for change order number one for the $12,650 recommended by staff.
Option one, basically.
Option one.
Okay. All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the change order recommended for option one, which will mean an additional expenditure of $12,650 for the project that had originally been projected to cost $299,603. So that is the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Yeah,
How much does that add to the finish time?
We're not planning to add any time to finish time. We've told the contractor that I believe the end of the contract was mid-June.
Mm-hmm. June 19th, I believe.
June 19th, and he may be able to buy another week out of this, but we're planning to start showing movies in that park in the end of June, so that's still the plan.
I would encourage him to, if it takes a little longer, to dry out a little bit more. That isn't a bad idea.
And that's the, we are not going to let them start paving operations until we've had a dry spell. Mm-hmm. We know the water table has dropped, and we're not going to be right back where we started, because I've got to sit at this table.
It sounds a little bit like a Band-Aid, but I hope we don't see you again for these tennis courts. Band-Aid. I really hope that we don't see you for some time regarding the tennis courts.
I'd love to ask for $105,000 to reconstruct the two courts, but I'm not.
Yeah, don't pressure luck.
No. $12,000.
If you can get Wimbledon here, or if we can get the U.S. Open here,
the roadway report, which is evaluation of the conditions of all the roadways within the town of Berlin that we're responsible for maintenance and repairs and upgrades.
Yes, as you guys know, last year the town's leadership wisely decided to do a roadway evaluation, not just a walk around and check out the roads and see what squeaky wheels are going to get greased, but to actually do a comprehensive and qualitative evaluation of every roadway that the town is responsible for. And this monster 50-page report sitting in front of you is the culmination of that effort. We feel like this undertaking was well worth it to the town. I'm glad that they decided to do the whole thing at once, because it starts off with an even playing field. We didn't just look at the roadways. We didn't just count potholes or look for alligator cracking. We were looking at the roadway condition. Of course, potholes, patches, longitudinal cracks, lateral cracks. We looked at sidewalks. We looked at curb and gutter. We looked at standing water. We looked at failures. We really, if you look at the criteria for the rating, it covers everything from a pothole, which everybody complains about, to ADA compliance, which you may have a handicap ramp that you're looking at that looks okay if it's not ADA compliant. So we try to cover the full gamut of a roadway, not just a road, but a roadway system. Basically, that led us to this report. At the mayor's request, a very good summary was added to page 14, which shows you that basically the town is split in two right now, 50-50, between roadways that ranked as good or excellent and roadways that ranked as poor or fair, which is for a municipality, I got 20 years experience in municipal engineering, working for small towns and counties. Those are very good numbers. And then even of the poor and fair, over half are in fair condition, not poor. So this evaluation is meant to be an instrument, a tool for you guys to systematically approach roadway repairs and upgrades moving forward in the future. For this evaluation, you kind of have to put blinders on and go in and look at everything that's out there and compare these numbers. But of course, as the town decides to implement roadway upgrades, we'll need to take a step back and take a look at the roadway, take a look at specifically the drainage, the sidewalk. And we include all that in our evaluation to rank the roads, But the cost estimates you see in here are for roadway repairs because it would simply take too much time, too much effort to go through a detailed cost estimate for each road. And in a matter of 2 years, it would be out of date anyway. So this is just supposed to be a living document that the town can come back if there is a harsh winter, or every 5 years, and update. You're not going back and reinventing the wheel. You're simply going to update the evaluations. So I assisted with putting together these criteria. We did follow national standards, so you can trace it back to an organization. And I've reviewed the final document of Rob Duma, another associate with Davis Bowen Fidel, who does a lot of work here in Berlin, has been my right-hand man for a long time. He put together the meat and potatoes, but I'll do my best to answer any questions you guys might have now. And if I can't, I'll let you know honestly, and I'll get you an answer tomorrow.
Yeah, if I could just add to that, so what we're looking at when we go in for major roadway repairs is not just the surface of the road itself, but actually the utilities underneath as well. So we'll be looking at the whole package, and if there needs to be utility upgrades, then we'll fold those into the roadway project. But the idea being that should keep us from having to pop the road open later if we need to do a utility repair or replacement.
I think a good example of that is Gay Street.
Yeah, it's a good example.
Where we're basically, and that makes a lot of sense. I think at least, I can speak for the last 10 years, we basically have followed an approach where we've always, the worst have been put first. But now that some of those cases were pretty extreme, but I think this is going forward, this is an evaluation and sets criteria that are objective, because if a road needs upgrading in front of someone's home or business, it is the most important road in town that needs work. And that's understandable. But I think going forward, given that we have to always consider what's underneath, because infrastructure underneath is not visible, but if it's not taken care of, the number of problems is multiple and can be catastrophic. So that's the part of investment that we have to do an ongoing way. And I think part of our responsibility is to make sure if we know a certain roadway underneath is going to need major utility upgrades for new sewer or water lines or the expansion of lines to meet current demand based on the demand of 80 years ago, then certainly we can have it planned, where obviously you don't want to plan to do all that underneath and then not have the money budgeted to get the roadway, the sidewalks, stormwater, everything else up to snuff. So I think this is going to be very, helpful over time. It always seems a bit overwhelming when we're talking about a total of 92 streets. I don't know, most people realize we have 92 streets that the town of Berlin is responsible for, and that does not include state highways within our town limits, and that certainly includes Main Street, William Street, Bay Street, Bay Street Extended, which becomes Assateague Road, and Old Ocean City Boulevard. I mean, if we add that to it, I can't imagine what the figures, how staggering they'd be. But just to take care of the 92, I think this gives us a roadmap, no pun intended, as to where do we go from here? Because obviously, I understand any citizen wanting their road to be a high priority, but we're also trying to be fair and over time have this where it's not half and half, but it's more like 80-20. And I think 80-20 would be probably as close to ideal as we ever get, 80% in good or excellent condition and 20% in poor or fair. Is that a realistic goal?
That is a very high goal, but it is a realistic goal. And I say that because once you get on top of it, it's much easier to maintain a road than it is to repair a road where you're getting into the base and the graded aggregate. You can triple or quadruple the cost of a roadway roadway work if you're hitting the bill and overlay versus waiting for the road to fail, and then you're going in and you're undercutting and you're coming back in with select soil, graded aggregate, base course, surface course, all that. And it's so much more disruptive to your residents. So, yes, I'd say 80-20 is a great goal to get to where your repairs are mill and overlay repairs, not pothole and reconstruction repairs, which is the approach that the state tries to take. If you look at their most heavily trafficked and heavy traffic roads, you think, man, they're out there doing that. They just did that road 3 years ago, but they're milling and overlaying it at a quarter of the cost that they'd have to pay, and much less traffic issues than they'd have to do if they waited for it to fail. So.
And speaking of the state, I think that they approved sending the highway user revenue back to the funds back to the municipalities. So
good.
I think that should help us with our goal of trying to get to the 80-20. It's going to take some time, but we can play catch up a little bit.
We can play catch up because it's been a long time since we got the full amount. I'm going to say roughly 10 years, something about that.
Appreciates me quite a bit.
Yeah, but it started with the Great Recession. They cut back at one point where we're getting almost nothing, not just Berlin, all the municipalities. And it's great that, and it was a multiple-year effort by the Maryland Municipal League.
It prevailed this year, so that's good.
Thank you for that good news.
So if I could just add, it's not reflected in the report, but if you took the budgetary estimates of all of the streets that are ranked poor, with the exception of Baker Street, because basically we're going to have that finished, it's almost $1.2 million worth of roadway work that would need to occur in the poor category streets. And so typically the town budgets $100,000 to $200,000 for roadway repair. So there's a challenge there in terms of getting through that layer of asphalt that needs to be repaired, given that sort of approach in terms of the $100,000 to $200,000 a year.
And by correct in looking at all these figures and the past experience with trying to budget for this, that every now and then we run into a street that can exceed what we normally do just for a year.
Yeah, and then we do have challenges from time to time when we'll have a utility-related emergency of some kind that requires us to go in and make a repair, so like we did at West Street. So.
And is it correct in that, let's say, a street, and we'll take an example, where, and I'll use Gay Street because it's happening right now, is that the amount of the expense for the roadway, the sidewalk, and anything on the surface comes from streets, from our street budget, and the amount, everything underneath comes from the utilities that are involved.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. I think the other observation that I wanted to draw your attention to in the report was where DBF talks about the timing of the roadway repairs and how the town should be mindful of timing the roadway work to sort of coincide with changes in development, to the extent that developers are able to bear some of the cost, perhaps potentially triggered by projects that they have, the town should be mindful of making the most of those opportunities.
Okay.
Anything else, Josh? You want to?
If any of you guys are going through the report and have a question, please talk to Laura, talk to myself. We'll get you an answer. So we want this to be a living, breathing document. And the good news is if anybody comes to you and says, hey, is my road on the list? You can say yes.
Foolproof plan.
Yes. You won't be telling them not so. Your name's on the list.
So from just reviewing that, I think the recommendation that was made at the general fund workshop, both of the streets that are being recommended, Chow Street and
Grace,
are both listed among the streets in poor condition.
We did do that. Yeah, okay. How about that?
I think that's just kind of reinforces the the recommendation and
right. Validation. You also have Bottle Branch, and you don't know this yet because we haven't gotten into the utilities, but we have Bottle Branch tucked under wastewater. Yes. So we got Bile Branch in there as well. It's designed to be partially paid by the wastewater fund and then also a grant that we've applied for.
So the two, Shawl Street and...
So it would be Bile Branch, Grace, and Shawl.
Grace, thank you.
And again, the Bile Branch part is sort of a preview of your utilities work session that's coming up.
Good. Excellent.
It would be helpful if the council would make a motion to accept the report so we have it on the record that you've reviewed it.
So moved.
Okay.
We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to accept the report on roadway evaluations for the town of Berlin from Davis Bowen and Purnell Incorporated, our engineers for the public engineers for the town of Berlin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Josh. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay.
Fine, good looking sign.
We have made it to departmental reports. Mary, as the Administrative Services Director, do you have anything to add?
Actually, this is Ivy's area.
Let me jump in if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah, so Ivy's on vacation, and this is just just our annual contract that you've got here, lease agreement in your packet for the billboard, and it's an annual cost of $18,000.
Yes, thank you.
So we're looking for a motion to approve.
Question before we do that.
Sure.
In the fifth paragraph in the lease,
uh-huh.
It says the lessor should pay the leasee.
Dave?
An equal pay installment. Right?
Gasp.
Well, obviously that should not say that.
I like that deal.
I wish I had drafted it.
They need to be transposed back.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, is this something that it'll be corrected before we actually do the signing?
When you sign, it just scratches through that, and you can initial it.
And you can approve it contingent on those changes being reflected in the agreement.
I don't recall drafting
this. You didn't, but Ivy should have sent it to you for review. Good to know.
Whatever the pleasure is.
I have a comment on the
sure,
sign.
Sure, certainly.
I had a comment on the sign before, and I still have a comment, and nobody probably agrees with me. But when I'm riding down the road from Salisbury, and I look at that sign, it looks like I'm supposed to make a right turn where the arrow's pointing. I don't know what that road is called. But
there's no blinking light there.
But it's the way you look at it. It says 5 miles ahead, and then it says turn right at blinking light. But when I first look at it, it makes me think that I'm supposed to turn Berlin is that way.
Yeah. And you know, I'm wondering, and not obviously the signs there now, but is it something that you all can look into? Is in the next reconfiguration, assuming that the contract's renewed, that the turn right of the blinking light, and then immediately adjacent to it or below it, it just say 5 miles ahead or above or below.
Okay.
It seems that the two of them, if they were in immediate proximity, maybe, for those who are alert, it might reduce that. Because I understand, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. And then quite frankly, the Berlin Lane Street.com thing, that's wonderful. I'm not sure how many people catch that. Because if they're paying all that much attention, they're probably starting to run off the road.
Yeah.
So, but really.
But the sign is real nice.
Okay, Roy, you're not driving.
All right. So do we have a motion?
Motion to approve. With that change, please.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. We have a motion.
No, not the change in the arrow. We said you're not driving. Just the change in the arrow.
I was going to catch you on that.
We have a motion to approve a renewal of the lease for the Town of Berlin sign on U.S. Route 50 near Waveyville. Immediately adjacent to Fort Whaley, in the amount of $18,000, or paid in monthly installments of $1,500 each. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right.
Great,
thank you very much, and thank you for helping out.
If you don't don't mind, we'll ask them to update the lease so you have a clean version of that document that we'll have you sign.
Great.
If we have passed our past signs in like digital form, is there any way that we could maybe construct a survey and put like three of them and see if somebody's actually paying attention to our signs so that we have some data to show whether it's worth spending $18,000 for or if we should maybe pursue other options?
All right, well, let me stay right that. We can always do that. But most before that sign existed, people didn't even know Berlin was here besides where it was. And I'm just saying it, really, because when we first proposed it, you're going to do what? But, and I'm sorry, and I have to say this, certainly in this century, I remember every time I went to NML anything, or went to Annapolis to see our legislators, our folks knew, but anytime I was introduced, and they say, oh, he's the mayor of Berlin, or a council member from Berlin, and they say, okay, where's that? They don't say that anymore. I'm honest. So, and I think the sign's just one small part of it, and I know it's very traditional, but I think what we've done, instead of the volume on that roadway, the farther east you go, it's the highest on the eastern shore. The only thing comparable is up just before you get to the Bay Bridge. So I do think it's not out on a out-of-the-way road. If it was, then yeah, I think it'd be a waste of money. But that is coming towards Berlin, the last available spot. Maybe someday, because they're not approving any more billboard spots, which is understandable. And thank goodness they stopped when they did, because otherwise we'd have one every 30 feet and they'd all be duplicates. So so I do think that, you know, it may be a more traditional form of advertising, but I think by complementing it as we have with a lot of social media and websites and all that, that they still work together. I mean, I would just
be interested to see the numbers.
If you can find a way to get people who's driving in to actually participate in a survey like that I would be like love to know. I mean, that's it. And I have said, having sold advertising for 30 years, when people, this used to be the way we get it, but it doesn't work anymore, is we said, well, put a coupon in. You know, nothing ridiculous, put a coupon in, and then you could compare it, but you had to compare it to something else. Because if you had, let's say, you were getting 20, right? And you only did it with the one print media, compared to what? So then if you did all of them, then you've got a comparison of what you're getting. So that's kind of not upset or anything.
You're not making me upset. I'm just wondering about whether it's actually effective or not, which the only way to find out is to ask. So.
Well, if you can figure out a way to ask, we're going to get input from people who we're trying to target, who don't really know we're here or are not sure where we are, that would be very interesting. So just, you know, think about it.
It works.
Okay, sure. All right, next, Administrative Services Director Mary Bolin.
This past Saturday was cleanup day, the start of Take Run Berlin Week, which runs until this coming Saturday, the 28th. It was an absolutely beautiful day to be out in the park doing some cleanup. We had about 40 volunteers, which is about average. It fluctuates from year to year. this coming Saturday, there is a business open house. If you are caught in one of the participating businesses wearing your Take Pride in Berlin Week bracelet, there are certain discounts and different little perks that you can take advantage of. There is also a Berlin hide and seek scavenger hunt, which is going on. Really, that's ongoing. It'll go beyond this week. But Ivy put those two promotions together, and they will kind of cap out our Take Pride in Berlin Week.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Okay. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I've had several people question the project going on William Street, as well as Cedar and Pine and Maple. So I thought I'd have a couple pictures here of what... the one up in the left-hand corner is what was excavated out.
That was the old pipe.
That's the old corrugated metal pipe. They're replacing it with the next size, standard size up from the corrugated pipe to the oblong concrete. It does take up more room, but it's going to carry a lot more water through the system. There were some conflict boxes that had to be placed in there because there were some sewers that went through the storm drain area. So that's this bottom picture here. Today they completed the sidewalk repair. As you probably remember, in 2007, the Army Corps of Engineers indicated that this was a high priority area. This is phase one of a two-phase project, the worst being Nelson, Graham, and Grice, but you have to increase the size of the pipes downstream in order to accommodate the next phase. So that's where we are here on this project.
What is, the best estimate, based on how it's proceeding so far, what is your estimate for what we'll get done this summer?
Maybe,
you know, neighborhood-wise.
Well, this will be done within a month.
Okay.
They're almost complete. They're almost done. Then we've got some funding grant applications to help with the phase two. And also the old substation we're going to convert into a offline wetlands or some kind of stormwater holding facility to also help with the flooding up there at Nelson.
Yeah.
We won't hear about those grant applications probably until
middle of
May.
End
of June, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Not for the next month or so.
Good. Thank you. Anyone have any questions for
Just
Jane?
A quick question. Are these photographs up online on our website so that everybody can see them?
No, because we just took them today. I just put them together today.
Will they be?
We certainly can. Sure.
That'd be great. That way when people ask, we can just send them.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe just a little explanation about what's going on and when the project can be done. Things, something.
Sure. We usually do that with the town project.
That's a heck of an improvement.
Cool.
You will see a huge difference. Even with this, with the phase one complete, you will see you will see a difference on Nelson Street with the flooding because it'll allow the water to come through much, much more water quicker into Hudson Branch. But so you're going to see reduction in flooding the entire length of those roadways.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Our next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening. First thing I'm trying to figure out is why this one particular light at the top of you.
It's flashing. It's an electric prod lighting on you.
Maybe I'm just putting off some kind of...
It's driving me crazy all night.
Yeah, but it takes the one over top of me for some reason. I didn't plan it that way. First thing I'd like to report on is on Monday the 16th, we had a major outage that occurred in town that was circuit 2:30. It started at about 5:17 in the morning. I got a call from the police department that we had some people out of power, and then started noticing as I was driving towards the shop, it was a lot more than just one or two people. It was the entire circuit was down, which fed Franklin Avenue, the doctor's offices, Berlin Intermediate School, part of Cedar, William Street, Food Line Shopping Center, that type of area. Anyway, when I walked out the door of the house, I felt like I was walking out into a hurricane. The wind was really humming, and when I was on Franklin Avenue, the water was actually going across the roadway. It looked like waves, like an ocean or something. So it was pretty bad and severe. What happened, our circuit breaker actually operated about three or four times until it finally opened. And what I think caused it was down on Franklin Avenue. We actually never did really find the cause, but when I was on Franklin, I noticed the overhead primary wires were, they were doing what's called galloping. When the wind will get to blowing and they'll start doing this, like that on top of the poles. and the poles were actually moving 2 to 3 foot at the top of the pole, and then the telephone wires started on it. So I thought it was going to break the poles off, but it didn't. Anyway, we are scheduled to go in there and start resagging the primary through there and do some improvements in that area to try to prevent that. That's what we think caused that outage. Anyway, the outage, everybody's power was restored at around 7 o'clock in the morning. So it was about an hour and a half outage total. Then also on Bowen Drive, we had to reposition a transformer that's been hit 2 or 3 times. I was talking to the homeowner there, and I'm sure some of you are familiar with Bowen Drive. It's a dead-end road.
Bowen Circle.
What's that now?
Bowen Circle.
Bowen Circle.
Well, it's a dead end. I don't know if it's a circle.
The name of the street is Bowen Circle.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, when you go down in there, there's two homes, and if you go to the very end, you've got to turn around to come back out. Anyway, the lady that lives at that address, she told me that it wasn't them that was hitting it. Basically, people would pull down that roadway and then realize it was a dead-end street. And they would pull in her driveway, and then they'd back up, and they'd actually hit the transformer. This happened like 3 times. So we actually had a sign installed at the beginning of the driveway out on Flower Street. It says, no outlet. So hopefully that'll keep some of the cars from going down in that area.
She let me know that she had a brand new sign on her street.
What's that now?
She let me know she had a brand new sign on her street.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Was she happy about that?
Yes, she was real happy.
Okay. So hopefully
she said the cars were coming down, turning around. Mm-hmm. Think that they could get to Cannery Village.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She said they put in the walking path, but they didn't put in the street.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it'll help prevent some of the cars coming down through that area. Then also on Tuesday the 17th, which was the very next day after Monday, we had another power outage. Which was 105 Cedar Avenue. There was about 4 customers out, and that was caused by a squirrel. Got into our transformer. This light keeps blinking. Then also we assisted Public Works with bulk pickup. Over here at the church parking lot, which is where some of the town employees park, we took a dead tree down in that area and took it out. And then also at the power plant, we installed a new air compressor system. All the engines at the power plant, they start by air. The original air system was from the 1960s, so that tells you how old it is, and we were having a lot of issues with them. And the problem is if we don't have air, the engines won't start, which then it will cost a whole lot more. So we installed another air compressor system, but what I did, I had it installed in a different area than where the original one was out, and basically now we'll have 2 systems. If the older system fails, the new system, you can throw a valve and then you can start all the engines from the new engine, the new compressor, and vice versa. If one quits, you can go the other direction with the other one. So now we have a backup to the original system that was there. Also, we have meter reading this week, starting tomorrow and the next day. That's it.
Any questions for Tim?
Mayor and Council, Tim also, he sent Russ off to the next, his lineman apprentice, off to the next level of formal training.
Very cool.
That's great.
Awesome.
Great.
Excellent.
Good news.
Right, thank you. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. The police department did not have any electric outages.
That kite works really well.
Myself and Lieutenant Fisher, we had the opportunity to go to the MML Police Executives Training Conference last week. Had a good time networking and learned quite a few things. One of them being that it's going to be a great shortage for police officers. A lot of folks are retiring, and a lot of us are all fighting for the same qualified candidates. We're getting ready for prom season and events, but again, we've had the opportunity to the others to communicate a little bit, and we're definitely getting excited for their prom. Worcester Prep, Snow Hill's already there, been in that season, so That's one thing we're telling the guys to definitely be mindful of. That's my report.
Any questions for the chief? Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just one quick item. We've had some of the public inquiring with us about the home at 412 South Main that had the fire around Christmas time. Well, they just Thursday dropped off plans, the builder that's going to rebuild the home. So it had been that kind of delay. They had the Historic District Commission approve the plans, just the drawings of it, the elevations, artist rendering, if you will. But he hadn't brought us building plans till just this past Thursday. So that permit will be put out soon. And people have been asking us, there's a lot of plywood there, and, you know, it's in the Historic District. So we've had some inquiries, and I just wanted to address that.
It's just in time for the building season, so it works
I'm
out.
Sorry?
Just in time for the building season now that better weather.
Yeah, I think so. You know, probably some scheduling with the contractor. You know. And they did have a couple of weeks where they were emptying their belongings that weren't destroyed. It took a while to put them in a storage unit, and so that'll be up and running shortly. That's
Thank
all
you.
I have.
Yep. All right. Any questions for Dave? And last is the Managing Director Jeff Leakley.
Very quickly, just before we started the executive session, I did get the final numbers on health, dental, and vision. Health care proposal for FY19 is a 3.86% increase. Dental is a zero, and vision is a zero. And dental and vision staying with the same carrier.
Great. That's a lot better than your original figures a couple months ago. Great. Thank you. Next is our town administrator's report with Laura.
Yeah, I think Kelsey's got some nice pictures of Worcester Cares. We had 122 folks come to the multipurpose building. We handed groceries out to 90 individuals and families. We had some food left over, and that food went to Shore Up for an event that they had coming up, as well as the Spirit Kitchen. So all in all, it was a successful event. We did do vendor evaluations, and the feedback we got from the vendors was very positive. Although I think we've been encouraged to find a larger space if we do the event again, because the expectation is we'll have even more people attending and even more vendors participating. So all in all, it was a successful event. I just want to thank the town employees for helping. A lot of them came in and volunteered on Friday to bag up groceries, or on Saturday to work the event, and we had a very, very strong planning team, and I just want to thank them as well.
Great. Thank you. Hopefully it sets a precedent that will continue for a long time.
And we'll see. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Yeah. That's it.
All right. I don't have any comments.
No, sir.
I have none.
No. I just want to thank Tim for his forward thinking. Most folks would have just replaced that old system and been left with one, but you did not.
It's true.
Now you have two systems, and that type thinking is a good thing. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Do we have any comments from anyone in attendance tonight? Any questions? Do we have any comments or questions from the press? Thank you very much. We stand adjourned.
I wouldn't be going for it.
No, you would. No, you would.
I threw all over mine.
Not bad.
I always do.
I need to go home and take this shoes off my feet. I had them on all day long.
Make sure going forward to the Yeah, that's why I got to work on that presentation, so I'll be in.
Here comes the signature person.
Just one for me tonight.
One?
Yeah.
Lucky you. Lucky me.
Okay. There. And then the Mary, you got quite a few.
Okay, all right, no problem.
I'm going to get a new contract. Ivy is out this week on vacation.
Okay.
That's it for you. Thanks.
But that's on. They're not going to take it down.
It's It's okay.
Go into effect until July anyway.
Yeah,
so
you guys have time.
Good.
But I think it's better if they just correct it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Forward, so.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have a problem with that one. And then.
Oh, yeah. Special
one. Go to see.
Ah,
wow.
Same.
You got everything.